You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We're rolling along on a Wednesday. Happy hump day, everybody. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I got Paul Gallant, as always, and then Sean Mapes is behind the glass for us producing. Some OTA news, not directly involving the Texans, but Browns and NFL analyst Tony Grossi tweeted that Deshaun Watson will not be made available to media after today's OTA practice.
Wow, I wonder why. You know, I can't think of anything that would lead the Browns to keeping Deshaun Watson from being asked questions about being the new quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, because there's no other topics that are especially topical today. No way!
When you take inventory from the last episode, the only episode of HBO's
Real Sports.
It called Real Sports. Thank you, Bryant Gumbel, that magazine.
Real Sports? How dare you forget my television show?
It like cracks me up every time you do that. It's a good impression. They had the episode last night that featured Ashley Solis and Kyla Hayes, two of the women that have accused Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct and in some cases sexual assault of the 22 civil lawsuits. And last night on Real Sports, I don't know that we learned anything different. We had heard from Ashley Solis before. We had not heard from Kyla Hayes. I thought Soledad right. O'Brien conducted a very fair interview. And we also heard from one of Deshaun Watson's lawyers, but we did not hear from Deshaun Watson.
Or Rusty Harden.
Yeah, which is, of course, his main lawyer.
I guess Harden was on a radio station last
night. He did
night.
A video.
Oh, it was a video. Okay.
You see the video that he put out there, Sean?
I didn't see the video.
He put a video out there, and then there was also a...
It was on 92.3, right. The Fan in Cleveland, which is the Browns flagship station, I believe.
Yeah, so we didn't learn anything new, but there was some clarity on, you know, Ashley Solis saying point blank that it was, and I quote, a major screw you.
Yeah.
When Deshaun Watson got all of that guaranteed money. We heard Kyla Hayes talk about how, yes, she did text Deshaun Watson back after some of these massages, which the defense has tried to use against her. But she says she felt there was a power dynamic shift. So we didn't learn anything new, but we did, I think, get a clearer perspective, regardless of who you agree on this, from the two young women that we heard from. I think that it's total, and I cannot emphasize this enough, total BS that the Browns are not going to make Deshaun Watson available. You are paying this man an insane amount of money, and it would actually be an insane amount of money even without the allegations, and even, just to be clear, even if that guaranteed number were smaller. Say it with your chest. If you bring this guy in to be the leader of your team, and you're bringing this guy into a team loaded with weapons with hopes that he can win a Super Bowl, he needs to put his name out there. He needs to put his name on his statements, and you cannot let this guy hide from the media. And I say that as somebody that always had really nice interactions with Deshaun Watson. I think Roger Goodell, he won't. He needs to step in here and he needs to force Deshaun Watson to meet with the media.
It would be
Hot
the
take.
Smartest move for the Browns. Just rip the Band-Aid off, in my belief. And you clearly prepared Deshaun Watson for his introductory press conference where he was saying the same three things over and over and over again and then saying, someday I'll tell my side of the story. You want this to die. You want the cycle to go away. I suppose if Deshaun Watson is asked about it, there's the potential for Watson answering a question in a way that could be whether via just being written and transcribed or just heard that could be interpreted as tone deaf or something like that, because that's basically all he has been to this point, tone deaf and sociopathic. But at some point, he is going to face questions. The Browns aren't going to be allowed to keep Deshaun Watson away from the media all offseason. They're not. It's just not possible. And you're also going to see, he's the star quarterback of a football team. He will be given many, many, many inquisitions publicly. Because we're not just talking about from the Cleveland media, which eventually will have to kind of bite their tongue and just cover him on a day-to-day basis like nothing's happened. Every single road game that he plays, he will face a ton of questions. He's coming here. And that's going to be a fun conference to sit back and watch. This is something that he will not be able to hide from forever. The Browns are trying to do it on day one after, you know, something took place. sorry. Good luck. I feel bad for the Browns PR staff. I don't know really what you can do in this situation other than just try to hide as much as you possibly can.
The Texans PR staff probably relieved the Texans not having to deal with the Deshaun Watson mess anymore. They have begun OTAs, as of all other NFL teams, and the Texans had really good attendance, actually, at OTAs. Other than Malik Collins and Laremy Tunsil, I believe everybody was there. We did hear from Brandon Cooks. I don't know about you. Brandon Cooks has kind of grown on me. Not that I ever didn't like him, but I like his veteran presence, and he is always really great with the media. Here's Brandon Cooks after OTAs. He had a son with him. It was adorable.
It was huge, not just for my family and I, but, you know, believing in what, you know, this organization is trying to get done and what Nick and Coach Levy is building. So it's definitely a blessing. And, I'm glad we can put that behind us and get back to work.
He's happy about the new contract. And right. It was a surprise that he wanted to stick around. And also, you know, just comparing him with Laremy Tunsil not being out there. Laremy Tunsil.
He found a way to do it with Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, I did a song, like an actual song about Laremy Tunsil.
Wait, on another radio station or a podcast?
No, this is when I had no job and I was just bored. And one Saturday I stayed in and I made a song about Laremy Tunsil.
Do you have it with you?
We could play it at some point.
Yeah, no, he showed me it before.
I feel like it's not as, you know, it doesn't hit, doesn't slap it's not in the immediacy.
Well, too bad. You're going to sing it at 11:45.
I'm not singing. All right, fine. Well, we could play some segments of it. It had a music video, too. My favorite part was...
Wait, what?
It was just, I put in like some videos and photos and slideshows.
You've never
in
told
there.
Me about this.
Well, I don't think I saw the video. I just heard the audio. My favorite, it's on YouTube, right?
My favorite part of it is when I said, like, Billy O'Brien was mad, butt chin shooting steam, and then I had with my very mediocre Premiere Pro skills, photoshopped steam coming out of Bill O'Brien's chin.
I gotta see it. I love things that you take 4 hours to do and then put on the internet.
That one actually did get good reviews.
So you weren't better.
So people
after
actually
that
watched that one. No, that made me feel good.
Okay,
I was like
good.
Basically just getting drunk every day because I was pissed off after getting fired. So anyway.
But yeah, Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks at OTAs. No, I mean, I'm glad that he got the contract under control as well and that they were able to get that done. I think it's important to have somebody like that for Davis Mills. I do. Entering his second year as a quarterback, somebody reliable like Brandon Cooks, he's been a journeyman with his teams, but I'm glad that they were able to get that done.
It's smart they kept him. I know that there are some other people, football minds in town, who thought it was stupid to keep him around, and I just think you're a moron if you feel that way. You want to give Davis Mills as many weapons as you possibly can. Davis Mills needs as much help as he can get, and, you know, we'll see. If John Metchie is ready to go at the beginning of the year, I'm not really sure about that one, just based off of the way that injury recovery times take. I hope that he will be able to get in there early, because year two is when I expect the most out of a wide receiver that you draft. But you got Michi. Nico Collins was pretty good for you last year, all things considered. I mean, what were you really expecting out of a guy that you took in, what, the third round? Cooks, him, and Michi, all right, we'll see. Is Brevin Jordan going to be another step better than what he was last year? I thought he showed some real flashes, too. So I'm curious. I don't think, you know, on paper, it doesn't look like much, but I don't think Mills is working with nothing. So,
I agree, and Nick Caserio always says, they're not rebuilding, they are building. What exactly that means, and yes, those were his exact words in a press conference, I think it means something like this. They're not in complete rebuild mode, and they're not trying to tank, but you have Brandon Cooks as your main guy. I think that that might say something, but I do like it specifically for Davis Mills. Meanwhile, CBS actually asked a question on Twitter, and I would love you guys' input on this. CBS asked, how many touchdowns do you think Davis Mills scores this season?
Okay. So 17 game season.
And what prompted this? Literally just a picture of Davis Mills with the thumbs up, AKA CBS Sports needed some engagement on the Twitter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a great way. Quote tweet for agree. Respond for disagree.
Classic national media using Davis Mills for clickbait.
Yeah. Leave Davis Mills alone.
It's usually LeBron James or ESPN social media will post a picture of a military homecoming from 5 years ago and be like, this moment, though.
It's amazing that they have any content online about the Houston Texans anymore, because for those who don't know, if you've been paying attention, like Aaron Reese is no longer he has been moved to another assignment.
Yeah.
Aaron's a good dude. He got moved from doing the Texans beat for The Athletic. And Sarah Barshop, who was doing the Texans beat for ESPN, she moved on to the Rams, I believe. So, like, all of the national writers who cover the Texans are just basically gone. John McClain's retiring. Like, no one's covering the Texans
anymore.
Well, you know
what? The actual serious answer to that is that the problem is that the Texans, although they were bad, there was an entertainment and a circus and a content need when Deshaun Watson was here and when Jack Easterby was in charge and Bill O'Brien, that need isn't there anymore.
Well, so to go back to your question, how many touchdown passes will Davis Mills? Mills in 13 games last year had 16 touchdown passes. I mean, that's not bad for just 13 games. I would say probably the over-under has got to be like, let's say, assuming he stays healthy for all the games, 22. That's what Mac Jones had last year. That's what.
So over under Davis Mills touchdowns next season. Second year, no longer a rookie, a little bit more experience under his belt. I'm going over.
You have to assume health if you're going over. I don't know about health because I feel like his lack of mobility and this offensive line, which is, I think, you know, heading in the right direction, but you don't really know where 100% is going to go. I wonder about Mills being able to stay healthy for a full season just because you can't move that much. Now, if this offensive line is better, I think over is certainly possible, but I am wondering if that offensive line is going to be able to keep him upright all season long. It is more and more difficult to protect for these guys who can't move. And Mills is not like he's totally immobile. He's not like he's a statue.
Yeah, he's not the most mobile quarterback.
He's a pocket quarterback. He's a traditional pocket quarterback from a bygone era.
Over or under Sean Mapes? 22 touchdowns for Davis Mills in his second
year. I'll say over, though.
Yeah,
if he plays the full year, I would go over. I would think around like 24 is probably a relatively realistic good outcome for Davis Mills.
I'm going to keep flip-flopping. I'm going to say under because I don't think he makes it through the whole season.
Okay, boom. So
just plays 9 games. So yeah. Under.
Yeah. But if he makes it through the whole year, I definitely think it's possible. Easier and easier for quarterbacks these days. His wide receiver corps should be better. Nico Collinson is in year two. Brandon Cooks is back. Brevin Jordan in year two. You have John Michi, who I'm hoping is going to contribute this year. Yeah, it's not a terrible arsenal. It's not great by any means, that's for sure.
It's just hard to get up to like 28-30 while like assuming that this is going to be a bad team.
Right.
It's just hard to score that much and still be bad.
Unless you're coming from behind all the time. You know,
the health of his receivers is also an element of that as well.
I just made a throwing motion while I was going.
Loved it. Former all-state quarterback state championship.
Whoa.
Full hearts, clear eyes, can't lose. No. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are complaining about things. What are you mad about today? We're going to go lighthearted here because we're all mad about a lot of different things today. But our Wine Wednesday segment is coming up next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Somebody asked on our text line, 9849, what does mop bucket mean? Think about it, bud. Just think about it.
Something you use to clean things
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. The ladies around Paul Gallant.
Oh my God.
Vanessa and Gallant. We're rolling along on a Wednesday. It's 97.5, 92.5. It is. Absolutely.
We should not be talking about mopping because you know what? It's not something anyone should aspire to.
If you're in the car with your parents right now, we're just talking about cleaning supplies. Mm-hmm. Sean Mapes is behind the glass as always, and we always want to hear you guys' input for this next segment where we complain about things. It's 713-780-ESPN. And it is our segment that we call Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine.
All right, I have a wine.
I love dancing to this music. It makes me want to, like, go out and meet some Latin pool boy on the dance floor.
A Latin pool boy?
A little tango.
Why not just some salsa, world traveler, like the most interesting man in the world or something like that. I mean, he's kind of like Kevin Costner.
Yeah, whatever. Just somebody foreign.
Somebody
dance
foreign.
With me.
They're taking our women and our germs. Okay, well, look, for those who don't know, as Vanessa continues to dance to the side of me like this is a 1960s movie and someone may or may not have partaken in the acid or some other hallucinogen, I'm going to try to focus on the show, the topic at hand. I have long been an opponent to the country club sports. Golf, because I'm not good at it, but the cake-eating nature of which a golf course clubhouse can be to me is a turnoff.
So polo?
Yeah. Any of these
bocce
sports where sports for rich people, generally, I don't like them because I feel like if those people actually played like a real sport where they had to get physical, they'd get bleeped up. I would say that tennis also applies to this. And tennis players are giant divas. You need an example? Well, check out this meltdown where a tennis player, of whom I had never heard of before, gets very upset about the water that was made available to him in the middle of a match.
We cannot have normal water. Is that normal? What's up? Is that normal? Do you think it's normal? So you call someone, it's been three changeover, I ask you some water. That's not freezing because it's not good. And you are in French Open and you cannot get normal water. You think it's normal?
No. Is it normal? It is not normal to have this freezing cold water.
So he was mad because it was too cold? It was too cold.
Imagine that the water that is made available to you outside in the midst of a hot tennis match is too cold for you and you're going to complain about it to the line judge. Tennis players are so soft. I have no respect for any of them. It's a hard sport, no doubt about it. It involves stamina, all sorts of different things. But the amount of whining that these guys do, I'm going to whine about it right now on Wine Wednesday. Whether it's Serena Williams trying to, like, kill a line judge.
Yeah.
Or it's some of these other people. It's just a sport that's filled with these cake-eating softies who get pissy about things like, yes, water being too cold when it is available to you outside. I don't get it.
Wine Wednesday continues. 1194 says, I hate when people order a package that requires a signature. They're not home to sign for the package. Then get mad at the driver for not delivering the package. I'm guessing 1194 on the text line is a delivery driver. We thank you for your service in those long days, especially at the holidays. That would be annoying if you're a delivery driver. People not being home to sign for a package when it's expensive and then getting mad at you. Here's my Wine Wednesday. Just because COVID is over and the airlines aren't requiring masks anymore doesn't mean you can be gross. Okay? So I get a flight the other day, or it was a couple of weeks ago, and I bought a flight with more legroom. Now, it wasn't first class, but it was one of those on United where you can just get a little bit of extra legroom. I'm going to treat myself, right? This guy sits next to me, and he's a little bigger. Now, I'm nicer to big people than Paul is, but
hard to be meaner.
He was
just trying to help you out.
He was a little bit on the big side. So all of the extra room I had did not become my extra room anymore. It became his because he needed it. His legs were spread out. His feet were spread out. He picked his nose. And it was just a really disgusting, disgusting experience. And I would have been better off paying for a cheaper seat to be away from this guy. If you sneeze on a plane, use a Kleenex. Brush your teeth before your flight. Wear deodorant. Try to have manners and try to not be gross. Just because COVID is over, let's not freeball it and not have any hygiene.
Freeball it?
Also, wear something that covers your feet.
Yeah.
No one wants to see your feet. We're breathing recycled air
Thank
on
you.
An airplane.
And you're not on a private jet. Don't take your shoes off. There's no need to do that. If you're eating something on the plane, don't make it tuna or fish. Have some decency. Mm-hmm. Just because we are at the end of the Rona does not mean that you can be disgusting.
Yeah, planes are a lost cause. It's over.
But during COVID,
for decorum on planes has been lost for years.
But during COVID, at least, and look, I didn't like all the rules and all of that, but at least things were being wiped down. People had masks so you didn't have to smell them. There were more precautions in place. People just went right back to being disgusting human beings. That is my Wine Wednesday. Sean Mapes, what do you have?
Mine's about the, well, the room and the building we're in right now.
Okay.
For the last few weeks, it has been bone-chillingly cold in the studio.
Oh, no.
And on this floor. I'm wearing a hoodie right now.
You sound like a New York Times columnist complaining about air conditioning.
I am complaining about air conditioning. I don't have to work outside, but I still expect it to be comfortable. I'm wearing a hoodie. It's May 25th in Houston, Texas, and I left my house wearing a hoodie because if I didn't, I would die of hypothermia. I feel like I'm actually the tennis player right now. I just realize I'm complaining about AC. It is too cold. Cold this AC. It's too cold.
By the way, 7629 on the text line says most Europeans do not chill their water. They drink room temperature. Maybe that's why he was salty.
Well, just wait for it to warm up.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of being a jerk. But yeah, have some hygiene on planes.
I would agree with that, but again, lost cause. Everyone has just become accustomed to this, right? Everyone is fine with this idea of, hey, I'm going to dress like crap. I'm going to go on a plane.
I'm going to be sweaty. I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it stinks. I mean, I would say this. It could be worse, you know? I would say that decorum on planes internationally is really something else. When I was flying back from the last time I did a cross-ocean trip, I was sitting next to a family from a country I'm not aware of, but the entire time, the lady, who was an adult, sitting next to me over the course of the flight, took her shoes and socks off and was consistently the whole way through just putting her feet up on the seat in front of me. Not because this seat was leaning back or anything like that. And also had no idea about personal boundaries. I'm asleep. And instead of waking me up to like ask, hey, can I get into the aisle? I would have gotten up. I was sitting in the aisle. She basically just walked through my legs. Mm. And her child was doing that the entirety of the flight,
like
too.
Like mother, like daughter.
Now, luckily, over the course of this 8-hour flight, I had like 3 or 4 little, those mini bottles of wine. So I was like in a state where I wasn't
a
like,
true wine Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen.
It really was.
Bring it full circle.
You know, but it's a lost cause. And it's worse elsewhere.
Also, stop standing up when the plane lands. Wait your turn. Plane.
Do you know what I love to do when people start to move up to the front? Because this is why I like sitting in the aisle, because I can stretch out my legs in the aisle. But whenever people start coming up before the row in front of them has been allowed out, I will just get out and I will just get in the way.
I love it. I love the pettiness.
And I'm just like, oh, man, I'm tired. Like, I act like I don't know what I'm doing,
and
but I do.
You're an all-district safety, so there's no way they're getting through.
Oh, absolutely
no
not.
Chance.
Too physical.
I mean,
I play physical sports.
World's best athlete right here. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a very awkward interaction between an athlete and a media member. But first, Paul Gallant's going to tell us about Passive Investa Network.
Yeah, guys, listen, if you're looking to invest in real estate, you're probably making the right decision these days, seeing as prices are going up and up and up. But maybe you don't know what you're doing. You want to talk to my friends at the Passive Investor Network. The PIN process, guys, it is a personalized 5-year plan for you that will outline how you, your family, can accrue wealth for years to come. Went out on one of their famous bus tours on Saturday, and they drove us all around Houston. And what these guys do, and a great job with it, is they find areas of town that they think are in the next 5 to 10 years going to transform the same way that we've seen the Heights transform, the way that we saw Washington Avenue transform. You know, this is a city that is consistently in development in all sorts of different areas. And look, if you want to make some money off of it, you want to talk to my friends at the Passive Investor Network, who will personalize a plan for you, walk you through it, and show you how they get it done. PassiveInvestor.net is where you go. Again, PassiveInvestor.net is where you go. You want to register for one of their next bus tours, where they will show you the whole process of how you and yours can make real money. It's Passive Investor Network, PassiveInvestor.net. That's PassiveInvestor.net.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is Charlie.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we've all had them. awkward interactions with people in the workplace, people that we know in a working environment. But what if those people are professional athletes? And what if you're a reporter? Sometimes it's recorded. We've seen a lot of these over the years. And we'll certainly tell our stories in a minute, but we want to highlight one that was just way too funny. And I'm glad that you guys saw this and put this on the rundown, because I was laughing very hard when I saw it. Javon Kinlaw, he plays for the 49ers, was doing an interview with Grant Cohn, who is a reporter. He writes for Sports Illustrated and does the 49ers blog. So this was a video interview, which made it even better because we could see it in person. Kinlaw had a couple of questions for Cohn on his reporting style and some of the things that he asked him. And here's that audio.
Put some respect on my name, bro. You don't know me. You don't know where I'm from, bro. Put some respect on my name, brother. I'm a man just like you. My nuts is bigger than yours, brother.
I asked you what I said about you.
My balls is bigger than yours, brother. Put some respect on my name.
All right, Javon.
Put some respect on my name, brother. Stop talking about me like I'm an animal or something, brother.
What did I say about you?
Don't worry about none of that. You already know.
Javon, you're going to come on my channel
and try to bring me hardcore facts, bro.
Javon, you're going to come on my channel and tell me what to say and what not to say. You should have some quotes.
Nobody f*** with that. Nobody f*** with you. You don't even understand that. Nobody f*** with you, brother. You need to go find a new job. Nobody f*** with you.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What it mean? Nobody f*** with you.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Nobody f*** with you, fam.
I like Grant Cohn saying, are you sure?
There are so many different things to dissect in this. Can we pause for a second? Can we shut up with the put some respect on my name? Yeah. Put some respect on
overplayed.
My name.
Overplayed.
How about just say, be more respectful. Put some respect on my name. No, I'm not going to sprinkle respect on your name. The stupidest saying that I can remember that has all of a sudden become mainstream in the last couple of years. Shut up. Put some respect on my name. About what? What's the respect? What respect are you owed? You're not DeForest Buckner? Is that what you're trying to get here? I don't know what his issue with Grant Cohn is here. Maybe Grant Cohn said something that rubbed him the wrong way.
I think Kinlaw accepted the invite on the show and then was looking for a fight because he was very, very aggressive. Grant Cohn did not help the situation by hopping on Twitter afterwards, quoting some of what Kinlaw said and then saying, "This sounds like a threat." I don't know that Cohn helped the situation at all, but it did lead us to the question of awkward interactions with athletes. I have personally never had an athlete say, put some respect on my name. And then what else did he say? Nobody F's with you?
Nobody bleeps
and
with you.
And my nuts are bigger than yours.
What'd you say?
He also said, my nuts are bigger than yours.
Probably true. I mean, we're talking about two human beings. One of them is a defensive lineman, I would just assume.
I mean, size, logically speaking, we would hope.
I mean, not saying on Twitter brings up a good point. Did Javon Kinlaw see the reporter's nuts for a comparison, or is he just making assumptions?
No, that would be something else if Grant Cohn's walking through the 49ers locker room also naked.
There was a lot of spicy.
And I would understand why he'd say, put some respect on my name. Like, wear some clothes when you interview me, please,
Yeah, if
Grant.
On the interview, he was like, all right, let's see it. Whip it out.
There was a lot of energy in Kinlaw and a lot of what I perceived as built-up tension, which makes me wonder. And I, by the way, tried to Google and do some research on this. I can't find what Grant Cohn said that made him so mad. Like, I tweeted the two, their names together. I Googled it. I'm not sure what happened, but it was a lot of anger.
It's one of those things where whatever took place, Kinlaw came in and thought that he was going to be able to, I guess, like, dunk on him. But when you start saying the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, that's not generally how it goes. This actually continued, by the way. We weren't done after, you know, Javon Kinlaw said that he has bigger balls physically than Grant Cohn. He put some respect on my name. And what was the other thing that he said?
Nobody
bleeps with you. Well, he just kept going.
And the only reason I'm getting on here stooping to your level this low is because I feel like it got to be done. Somebody got to do it, and it's going to be me. Somebody got to press you, fam. You like to come on here and try to bully people on the internet. But when I press up on you in person, you shaking like a coward, voice lighter than my baby, fam. What's up
you
with
think
that?
I'm scared of you, Javon?
What's up with that, fam?
You think I'm scared of you, Javon?
I don't give a f- you are not. All I know is when I walked up on you, your f- body temperature was f- cold as ice.
Straight you checked my body temperature?
Straight your f- ball shriveled up. Lord.
Okay, so again, he's really just concerned about Grant Cohen's ball size. It just keeps going. I mean, it's a fabulous car crash to watch, and it makes me wonder how I would handle a situation like that. Kinlaw is suggesting that he went up to Cohen face-to-face, and that Cohen wasn't perhaps as confrontational in person. Well, I mean, who would be, to be perfectly honest? I'd like to think that I would if a defensive lineman came up on me like that, but all you can really do is just ask questions that lob back at somebody who's angrily yelling at you in that spot.
He did do the whole, like, well, what are you going to do about it? When he, you know, he had that kind of, but what else are you supposed to do? Kinlaw saying somebody needs to set you straight, fam, because you bully people on the internet, is I believe what he said, makes me think that Cohen has maybe been testy with players before or pushed them further than they liked, and that this had been a conversation between Kinlaw and some of his teammates.
Or maybe he's just been critical and Kinlaw thinks it's the job of a reporter.
Well, I'm saying what Kinlaw perceives has happened.
Well, this is the thing. I think a lot of players these days believe that a reporter's job is to stand, essentially, for the team.
Stand.
To sing praises, to kiss ass. And if you're critical online, they're like, oh, how dare you? How dare you? Okay, if you feel like you're being bullied and you wanted to bully Grant Cohen, mission accomplished, Javon Kinlaw. I don't think it made you sound particularly intelligent. I don't think it made you, I don't know, look any better in the eyes of the San Francisco 49ers, but there are definitely some supporters of Javon Kinlaw online. People like to see players dunk on reporters, but I would just ask about Kinlaw. Have you lived up to being a first round pick that replaced DeForest Buckner? I don't know.
Awkward interactions with athletes. If you've worked in media, we've probably had them. I don't know that I have any that are too egregious. I did run into a wall in the Astros clubhouse.
Walked?
I wasn't looking at where I was going. And Garrett Cole said, there's a wall there. It's been there all season. And after that, I just kind of felt like every time Garrett Cole looked at me, he was thinking, that's the wall girl. I think being a female is a little bit of an advantage in this area because, like, I don't think a male athlete would ever talk to me the way Javon Kinlaw talked to Mr. Cohen. But that's my awkward interaction moment. What about you, Paul?
Well, the first day that I ever reported on a baseball game, the pregame for the Astros and Marlins, for some reason they were paying me to cover it. The Astros sucked. The Marlins sucked. And I was like, all right, well, here I am. Ozzie Guillen had been under fire for the last couple of weeks and had been suspended because he had, in an interview with a magazine, Spanish magazine, said that he loves Fidel Castro, which is literally the stupidest thing you can say if you are a public figure in Miami, given Miami's massive Cuban refugee population. So I asked him, Ozzie Guillen, if things had cooled down back in Miami. And
what was the response, Paul?
Told me to grow the bleep up, mother bleeper. You kidding me? But then I started laughing. I thought it was funny. And then as I walked away, he said, nice try, kid. And I didn't get that part on audio. It's up on YouTube.
Why are we not playing it?
Do we have the audio? I could send
you,
it.
You might have sent it to me a long time
ago.
I'll send it to you
like a week ago, Sean. And I sent it like a bunch of other awkward interactions.
Maybe we can play it the next segment.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because I would really like to hear this. This is the first the first baseball game you ever covered.
Yeah, it was the first. And I didn't even stick around for the game. Then I remember I got yelled at by, I did not know who Richard Justice was at the time, but the MLB writer Richard Justice then lectured me in the press box for asking that question. I thought that Richard Justice, because he was bald and he seemed like, you know, he was a stout kind of like a thick guy. I thought he was MLB security because he's wearing a polo with MLB on it. And I thought to myself, wait, am I about to get like ejected from the ballpark for asking Ozzie Guillen a question? And I thought it was a fair question. And he just lectured me in front of everybody in the press box. And I didn't know what to say. And I didn't know who it was.
And you're so new that you don't know what to do.
Well, I just didn't know who he was. And then afterwards I found out. And ever since, like, there was like a 3-year stretch where I was just pissed. Like, I was like, bleep that guy.
It's not
but
like
now,
you to hold grudges.
No, it's in the past. It's whatever. You know, I've never actually had a conversation with Richard Justice other than that. He just lit up to me. And I was this 23-year-old kid reporting on my first baseball game doing
the only thing that I thought mattered at a pregame between Astros and Marlins. Who cares? This game doesn't matter.
Right. And to your point, there are some people that some media members that will take any opportunity to make young folks feel dumb. Sean, have you had any awkward interactions with athletes? I know you're not probably out in the field or the locker rooms a lot.
Yeah, no, all my interactions with athletes have come like when I was in college with other college athletes. So there's nothing too crazy. Just I had two different classes with Mo Bamba, his 1 year at UT. And I knew Texas wasn't going to make the tournament unless they like went on some miracle run. And apparently Mo Bamba also knew that because he stopped showing up for classes around like the end of January. He had already done enough to qualify for the rest of the regular season and he was leaving.
Yeah.
But no, really tall, skinny guy. But he never told me that he had bigger nuts than I did.
Yeah. Ooh. It's funny. Nobody's ever told me that either, although you never know. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we wrap up the segment. We're going to try to hear maybe some of that Paul Gallant audio with Ozzie Guillen if we have it. And then, of course, our world-famous Garbage Time segment. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G. on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Audio magic. We have some audio magic that we're going to listen to. Back in the day.
A long
young
time ago.
Reporter Paul Gallant.
When I looked more like Rachel Maddow and had no beard.
You did look a little like Rachel Maddow. But you look very manly now.
Thank you.
Don't take me to HR. young reporter Paul Gallant just trying to be fair, do good work. Make a name for himself.
Just trying to earn the money I was being paid.
The money. Ozzie Guillen, first day on the job. This is the interaction.
Yep.
Has the backlash to what you said a month ago cooled down back in Miami?
What?
Has the backlash to what you said like a month ago, has that cooled down in Miami?
What did I say about last one?
About Castro?
God, the f***ing grow up, mother. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's 10 years ago probably now. That was in May of 2012. Yeah. Yeah, it was like my first time doing anything
and
for the Texas flagship.
And you sound so nice.
I was nervous when I was that whole press conference. I'm there and I got anxiety just thinking like, when am I going to get to ask the question? Where's a good spot to ask the question? So I waited until everybody was done with their questions. And that was the last question that was asked at the press conference. But the whole time I'm like, I hate those situations because, and you've done it before being in TV, where you're all standing around somebody and you're waiting for an opportunity to ask. And there are some people who will talk over you when you start. And I'm generally deferential and polite in those settings because I don't like to step on toes. And it was my first time ever asking a baseball person anything ever. It was literally my first time ever.
God, that's a hell of a baptism by fire.
It was fun. I mean, it was cool the next couple of days, like getting people were like, yeah. And other people were like, why did you ask that question? Like, I went on a Miami radio station. They asked why I asked the question. And I was like, why aren't you asking the question?
Right.
You live in Miami.
Exactly.
Are you not? Do you know no Cuban Americans? Like, I don't know. It's
in our
pretty easy question to ask.
Part two of Paul always has great interactions as a media member. One, William O'Brien, fellow Boston native.
Yeah.
And you exchanged some strong words back in the day.
You know what, this time...
And give us the context of what we're about to hear.
So Bill O'Brien and I had... I don't think it was ever adversarial. Like I actually did enjoy him. And he would bust my balls in the middle of questions. He's from Boston. This is sort of how a lot of us talk to each other. But some people would interpret it as, oh my God, like this is bad. And there would be some times where he would like go out of his way to call me out. I think there was one time where I confused CJ Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin in talking about Brock Osweiler's interceptions. And he just stuck on that fact that I confused the two as opposed to answering my question about Brock Osweiler's interceptions. Smart play by him. You know, I understand why. I should have been factually correct with what I asked it. But whenever I would ask O'Brien a question, I would say, like, I would bring things up that I felt were obvious. Like, hey, obviously this is hindsight being 2020. So I asked him a question and I said that and this is what happened.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Yeah. Appreciate it, though, he continued. And then he actually answered the question. He used to bust my balls. I mean, again, I legitimately got along with him. I know he had an explosive temper. I know as someone who has an explosive temper himself, you know, that, being from Boston, I feel like we were wired very similarly. Yeah, it do be like that sometimes.
It do be like that
You
got to
control it. There's no excuse, but, you know, it do be like that.
It do be like that. The only benefit...
Put some respect on
the only
the
benefit
name.
Of Zoom meetings was that you didn't have people talking over each other, but that's definitely an aggressive place to be. And my favorite is there's a certain media member who I won't name that when I ask questions and they're wanting to ask questions, you'll hear a... They just get so mad that the young chick is asking a question. I always secretly enjoy that. All right, it is time for our world famous, notorious segment, Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So there was a viral video of a passenger from United Airlines and then a United Airlines employee going at it. And I mean, they were really going at it. To the United employee's credit, he actually took the hit pretty well. He took the punch pretty well.
He got up like he was Rocky Balboa in a movie.
And
I mean,
he was on the luggage thing. I thought he was going to just drift away. I mean, I literally thought that's what was going to happen.
You have to get up at that point. And to his credit, the guy has some balls getting back up. He should never have initiated that fight.
No,
though.
Because it was with Brendan Langley. Former NFL player.
Lamar graduate.
CFL player, and he's a local kid.
Shout out Golden Triangle. So, yeah, he got arrested. I'm not sure what really took place here because there's a video that's posted, and it just shows the punch. Then there's a video that shows the airline worker going up to him. And I want to know, before the video actually started recording, what took place. If we go all the way back, like, how did it escalate to the point where the airline worker came from behind the counter to get in his face?
Right.
Obviously, things got personal. That the player, Brendan Langley, was arrested was surprising to me because I think you could make the case that the airline worker initiated it. I guess the airline worker has been fired. He did not face any criminal charges.
The funniest thing, did you see this video, Sean?
Yes,
the funniest thing about this was, like, the airline worker smirking and, like, give me more after he gets...
Yes, it was like he was in a movie, and the movie was about him, like, getting tough, because he steps to him, and then he gets knocked down, and he falls down on the conveyor belt like a cartoon character, and then he gets back up, and, like, yeah, he does, like, the boxer movie, like, give me more, like,
yeah.
Like I'm
it's
back.
Very strange, it even is, though this man is much larger than him.
It is Rocky. It is it's someone, you needed Mickey there saying, you can't win, Rock! You don't have the eye of the tiger, or to have Apollo Creed's ringside trainer throw in the damn towel in slow motion. Like the guy had no quit. I'll give him that. You know,
he didn't.
But now you're going to be famous forever for getting your ass.
It
kicked.
May actually work in his favor. I mean, if you're the guy that took a punch from a former NFL player and got back up,
this is his origin story.
This is his core memory.
He needs to be. He needs to be on Dr. Phil tomorrow.
Put some respect on his name.
Cash me outside. Meanwhile, actor and producer God. Seth Green was robbed of several NFTs this month after succumbing to a phishing scam.
Mm-hmm.
This is per BuzzFeed News that inadvertently threw a monkey wrench into the plan for his new animated series. So long and the short of it is he bought something that I think is incredibly stupid. The Bitcoin, the NFT, the Doge world or whatever. All these
Dogecoin,
Wall
yeah.
Street bros try to talk to me about at bars. He got it robbed, he got it scammed, and now he cannot produce this show. So he is online pleading with at Darkwing84, who bought his ape NFT from a scammer, to return it. We are at the end of times.
First off, he's going to get these NFTs back. Second, is this not a publicity stunt for his show? Third, I watched the trailer of it. It looks terrible. It looks like it's, and it's sad because based off of the trailer, you would think, okay, Seth Green, he did Robot Chicken. This is going to be probably something that's funny that makes fun of NFTs. I watched it. It's like a heartfelt comedy where NFTs live in the world with humans.
Okay. Well, then it's clearly publicity.
Yeah. That's
how lame.
The trailer the trailer, which I guess they showed at a stadium, is legitimately garbage. It looked awful.
And at Dark Monkey or Dark Wing 84, fake name. Has to be, right?
That's a burner, yeah.
No, I don't think that's his real name. No, I don't think Mr. and Mrs. Monkey named their kid Dark 84.
What I don't get about NFTs, among many things, is why, of all the things to buy as an NFT, would you buy these stupid-looking monkeys? Like, that's what the biggest, most famous NFT is a series of portraits of these, like, disgruntled ape, I think is what it's called. They look terrible. Why would you buy these for thousands of dollars?
My pet peeve is with the people that try to explain it and act like they understand something that you just don't get. Like the Darren Rovells of the world that are like, well, in 5 years, it could be worth $1 billion. And then at the end of their sentence, they say, or it could be worth nothing.
Yeah. They're all trying to get you in on their scam. You know,
well, I mean, because it's about the blockchain and it can't be replicated. You own the digital...
Help.
Blockchain's cool, but this does not mean that the thing that you bought that has blockchain has value.
Yes. That's where I am.
NFTs. It's
blockchain, whatever, sure.
I don't even know what blockchain is.
I really
like
do, too.
Blockbuster video?
I've yes. heard my friends talk about
sure.
it
it's
right
like,
before
okay.
I fall asleep.
Gotcha.
Non-fungible tokens.
Oh, is that what NFT stands for?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm really great with that and betting. All right. Meanwhile, we always say on the show, just to close it out, murder is mean. And apparently it's mean in the metaverse, too. The metaverse, of course, the virtual world where people can live, work, and play. These people that have no lives in real lives. New laws could be created that prevent people from committing murders in the metaverse. They agree with me.
No.
Murder is mean.
I think murder in the metaverse should be allowed.
Really?
Yeah.
But if you die in the metaverse, what if you die in real life, too?
Yeah. Is that like the Wanda thing?
Shouldn't have gone in the metaverse.
Yes, that is like WandaVision.
WandaVision. Thank you. Saw Doctor Strange. All right. That's been another episode of Vanessa and Gallant. Thank you, Sean Mapes. Thank you, Paul Gallant. And we will talk to Jeremy Branham.
Joel, there's no clock on the wall.
And Joel
we
Blank.
Get it. Joel Blank just opened the door. He's like, guys, can
a
you leave?
A little passive
there's no
aggressive,
clock on the wall.
But we love
there's
Joel.
There's no phones.
The Killer Bees.
There's just
on
NFTs.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our next. Stay tuned.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.